on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introduce him, the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8pm, it's Phoenix 98 FM, and it's On The Ropes with Mark
and Charlie Foley.
How is everyone on this fine Sunday evening? I hope we're all keeping well. You know, we're in the doldrums at the moment with COVID-19. Me and Charlie just couldn't wait to get out of the house this evening.
I know, Mark, it's really grating on me working from home all week. And then, you know, your weekends, your week's morphing into your weekend. There's no real break. But the good news is, we're back on Phoenix 98 FM for our fix of boxing this week. Some fantastic bouts this week to discuss and some big news, Mark.
Absolutely. News and views coming right up. And we're joined this week by super lightweight and Southern Area champion Danny Darko Egbeniki. Really looking forward to catching up with Danny, Charlie, in part two. He's based out of Wickford, you know, trained here in Wickford by Kevin Lilly. You know, really looking forward to catching up with him. He's got a big fight coming up very, very soon. But less is more. And as always, seconds out, part one. Firstly, topics to discuss. We're going to start with one of the biggest stories possibly this week. Now, Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell has been postponed as Luke Campbell was tested positive for coronavirus. Now, the fight, obviously, with Luke Campbell versus Ryan Garcia will most likely now be on December 19th. This is according to Oscar De La Hoya. Now, Canelo Alvarez and Callum Smith have reportedly reached an agreement to fight in December. It's claimed that the bout is being eyed at the AT&T Stadium in Texas, and the exact date is to be confirmed, Charlie, but likely December 18th or 19th. Now, is this Mexico versus the UK? Is it Garcia, Campbell, is it Canelo, Smith? Wow, mouth-watering stuff if it does happen.
Well, and it sells, Mark. And, you know, there's talk about spectators getting back into stadiums, isn't there, from December? So who knows, that could be a massive money spin, that fight, if obviously it's on the Canelo undercard, you know. Like you said, Mexico versus Great Britain. And not only pay-per-view will be through the roof, but fans, you know, back in stadiums as well. People will be queuing up to, you know, try and get in and see that one live. Fantastic.
Huge fight if it does take place. Obviously, Callum Smith, I think he's been waiting in the wings. He's due that big money fight. I guess it's an easier fight to make now with Canelo leaving Golden Boy. I mean, and let's think of the worst case scenario. Golden Boy, if Garcia loses that, Charlie, where do they go from here?
Yeah, I know. Oscar De La Hoya was talking about making a comeback as well, wasn't he, in the ring? So he must be a bit strapped for cash. He knows that his stable's going up the wall, so he probably needs to take a bout to keep it going, keep the money flowing in.
Yes, absolutely. And interesting times for Golden Boy, and hopefully December 18th or 19th we do get that mouth-watering bill of Mexico versus the UK. An agreement this week has been reached for Leron Richards to defend his British super middleweight title against Willie Hutchinson on Tyson Fury's December the 5th undercard. According to the British Boxing Board of Control, both unbeaten fighters, Charlie, this should be a good one.
Yeah, Willie Hutchinson, Mark, he is game as they come, he really is. Leron Richards technically looks very good. You know, a lot of people have been calling him out recently, haven't they? Obviously, we spoke to his management team, Sam Jones, in the past, and obviously, he's got a newborn baby, so he's been a little bit inactive. But he's back in camp, back in the gym, and that will be a good test, Mark, that one. Willie Hutchinson's got real power in that division. Yes, he's still a bit of a rookie in terms of, you know, his record. But, you know, he is a prospect. But I do like Leron Richards as well. I like his technique. But he does, you know, he does need to prove himself a little bit more, in my opinion. So most definitely that will be a good fight.
Could be a fantastic card, this one. It certainly is turning into a tasty card with Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur on that bill as well as Tyson Fury. So, Yeah, really looking forward to that night. It's a big weekend of boxing. Scott Fitzgerald has vacated his British Super Welterweight title, and the British Boxing Board of Control have ordered Ted Cheeseman versus JJ Metcalf. Now, Eddie Hearn has also won purse bids for Liam Taylor versus Chris Congo, and that will be for the final eliminator for Chris Jenkins, who is defending his British welterweight title versus Ikao Isuman. So, Charlie, I'm amazed how quickly, obviously, Ted Cheeseman, former guest of the show, he gets another crack at the British title. He would have wanted maybe Fitzgerald. But I'm also very, very amazed at how quickly Congo has got himself in the mix after that impressive display against Luther Clay.
Yeah.
So, you know, Congo's there or thereabouts with a potential shot at Chris Jenkins. Obviously, we've got Conor Benn next week at welterweight. Interesting division.
Yeah, and then you've got Josh Kelly as well, Mark. You know, Matchroom have got, you know, they've got the trump card here. They really have in terms of this division. And you're right, Congo. But Congo really impressed against Luther Clay. And he's, you know, he's springboarding himself into the rankings. So looking forward to seeing him in action. Ted Cheeseman deserves his chance, but JJ Metcalf, oof, good fighter, Mark. Good fighter. Cheeseman's a good fighter, don't get me wrong. Depends which Cheeseman turns up, you know. If he wants to have a tear up, you know, he does come forward like he does, you know, he's game as they come. But I quite like Ted Cheeseman on the back foot as well. So it depends which Cheeseman turns up, but Metcalf, that's no easy feat either. That's going to be a tough, tough fight.
Yeah, Cheeseman's got this opportunity really to resurrect his career, certainly domestically. He has made mistakes in the past. You know, that Garcia fight, Sergio Garcia taught him a lesson that night, and he said he wasn't on top of his game because he had his gambling addiction. Very, very interesting interview we had with Ted Cheeseman. Go back, it was at the very start of lockdown, and you'll see exactly how Ted Cheeseman was that night, and he wasn't in a very good place. So good to see him back at British level, and you know, a big test for him.
Yeah, and how do listeners listen back, Mark, to previous shows if they need to?
If you do need to, go on to www.phoenixfm.com. Go under the On the Ropes show and programs, and you'll see all the list of previous shows. And just click on that Ted Cheeseman one. It was done during early lockdown. I think it was April time. It's well worth a listen. Also announced this week, Sam Eggington will face Ashley Theophane, another former guest of the show, Charlie, on December the 11th, live and free on air on Channel 5. Now, Ashley, as I said, was under the Mayweather promotion, former guest. Now, he's a 57-fight veteran at 40 years of age. Eggington has recently just been let go by a Matchroom, it would appear, as this is a Mick Hennessy show. He comes off the back of a defeat to Ted Cheeseman at Fight Camp this summer. Charlie, who's your money on in this fight? I tell you what, I quite fancy Theophane.
Do you? Mark Edginton, I tell you, he's tough as they come, though. It depends, you know, Ashley's had a very good career, Mark, right? And, you know, let's be honest, he's been a little bit inactive. I know he's been doing a bit of a world tour. You know, he done really well out in the US. You know, he got in there with some big names like Adrian Broner. Hopefully he's nicked a few quid, he's banked that, and he wants a couple of big fights in the UK. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about him previously fighting people like Conor Benn, even Josh Kelly, who we mentioned there earlier. So, you know, it'd be interesting to know which weight this is at. If this is around the welterweight, then if Ashley does come through it, then he might, you know, he might be back in the mix. But Edginton, for me, Mark, he is tough. And if Ashley's still got the heart and the desire, then he'll make a real, real go of it. But if he's not, and he's not up for it on the night, Edginton will just sit on his chest all night long. Another intriguing fight. Edginton's, what is he, 28,
27, yeah.
27.
27.
Versus 40-year-old. I know, you know, 40's not old really, is it? But in terms of boxing, it's certainly getting on a bit. I'll be interested. I'm very intrigued by this. Very, very intrigued.
Now, Edginton is still the British number four. It does seem like he's been around forever, though. I mean, he obviously turned professional at a fairly young age. He is 27. He's a super welterweight. Now, Treasure Theophane normally comes in around middleweight, Charlie. So I'm not sure what weight class this will be just yet.
No, he's not at middleweight.
I'm presuming it will be a super welterweight.
Yeah, it's going to be super middleweight it'd be super welter or welterweight. He's not middleweight, actually, Theophane. No way. He's not that. Maybe he's had a couple. I think maybe one of his last.
I'm sure his last fight he came
maybe
in middleweight.
Up over in Denmark, wasn't it? He thought he might have been middleweight because he has been a little bit, you know, not overweight, but he's just not been in camp, you know, 24/7. But for this fight, he needs to be in camp and he needs to be ready because, like I said, Edginton will sit on his chest if he's not up for it.
No, Eggington.
Is it Eggington or Eggington?
I thought it was Eggington.
Oh, is it?
Sam Eggington.
I've got egg on my face.
Needs really to get this win under his belt. Really does, because his record, Charlie, he's had a few defeats on there now. I think Theo Fane's had 7 defeats. Eggington's not too far off that himself also. So, as I said, he does seem like he's been around a long time. He's been let go by Eddie Hearn after that Cheeseman defeat. And, yeah, like I said, he needs to get back. He needs to get back to winning ways right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. But that's what I mean. It's a real 50-50. It's a real crossroads for both fighters. You know, if Theo Fane loses, does he hang the gloves up? If he wins, who does he fight? Does he go on and to fight the likes of Conor Benn, Josh Kelly? If Eggington gets back in the frame, where does he go? So it's a real, real crossroads fight. And, you know, one I'm really, really looking forward to. And you're right, Eggington, he's had some tough bouts and he does feel like he's been around forever. But, yeah, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. And it's free on Channel 5 as well, Mark, even better.
Absolutely, yeah. Both had 7 defeats, so, you know, evenly matched. But like I said, the younger man is Eggington, 27 versus 40 years of age. Theo Fane, Theo Fane. Now, Dave Allen Charles announced today that he is retiring from boxing at the age of 28. The reason for him calling it a day is simple. He said, "I don't want to get punched anymore. All I want now is a nice, quiet life and a wife and some kids. Healthy and happy, getting nice and fat." How honest can you be? I mean, what an honest person.
Well, he looks a little bit like me then. If he wants to get fat, then the heavyweight division, Mark, it's a brutal, brutal division, isn't it? And if you're not quite there in terms of, you know, if you're mentally, you're undecisive in terms of whether or not you want to get in that ring and you've still got the desire, then he's definitely made the right decision, because you do not want to step through those ropes if you're not quite mentally prepared for it and ready for it. And I think it's a very wise decision. He's hopefully done all right at the game. You know, he's had a good few fights. He hopefully would have banked a few quid, been wise with it. And he looks like he's going down the coaching road now as well, doesn't he? Young Danny Morrell, didn't he? He was out on the MTK bill in the week. He's his trainer stroke manager. So is he going down that road? Will he be back in the ring? Who knows? But at 28, if he has a couple of years out and then realises he gets the itch again, then he can always go back to it. So, yeah, a wise decision for me.
Do you think that, I mean, he was obviously part of the Alexander Usyk training camp, obviously for the Derek Chisora fight recently. Do you think that Dave Allen would have learnt from Usyk that he no longer can compete at that level? Or do you think there's more that went on behind the scenes? Could he have potentially been knocked out by Usyk? Was he hurt by him? Something may have triggered this for Dave Allen. You know, he was due to fight on November next weekend, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Against Lovejoy. And obviously that was a huge disappointment for him. He's had ups and downs in his career. I'm just wondering if he got badly hurt by Usyk in sparring.
Well, I don't know, Mark. I mean, if you look at the shape of him, you know, the press conference, etc., the build-up to that fight before Lovejoy's kind of, you know, was reprimanded by Don King. He looked in the best shape of his life. He really did. And he looked like he had the desire and, you know, the love for the sport back. And he was really up for it. So it is an odd one. Why, you know, only a week or so later or 2 weeks later that now he's decided that it's not for him. I don't know, Mark. What, did Usyk clip him too much? Did he realise, you know what, I can't compete with these guys? If you know, I'm never going to get up to their level. Who knows? Or he's fought enough kind of journeyman, hasn't he? He's probably thought, well, there's no one out there for me to fight. I don't know. It's a very, very odd one.
I mean, he was unbeaten in something like his first 10 fights. He lost to Dillian White. He lost to Ortiz. He went on to fight Len Roy a couple of times, didn't he? He took a beating from Yoka. He got that KO against Webb. The Brown knockout at the O2 headliner was probably the highlight of his career.
Yeah, a great body shot.
A great, great shot. And then he's, you know, he's lost to David Price.
Oh, no.
I mean, and he was never expected to lose that fight. He was always, you know, he was expected to KO him in typical fashion.
Yeah, but you don't know mentally how that knockout has left him, Mark. You know, that looked like a bad, you know, he was rushed to hospital after that fight, wasn't he? So you don't know what's going on. You know, Is he lost, like I said, has he lost the will, the desire? Is he worried about getting hit again? Because if he is, then he's done the right thing. Because you do not want to be unsure getting in that ring in the heavyweight division. Because if you're unsure and you're not up for it, you'll get seriously hurt. So for me, he's made the right decision. And like I said, if he wants to come back in a couple of years and he gets the itch back, then come back in a couple of years. So, you know, at 28, he's still got time on his hands if he decides to give it another go. So good luck to the guy.
Yeah, onwards and upwards for Dave Allen. You know, pasture's new. And as you said, it could be, well, boxing, managing, boxing training, even boxing promoting, because obviously he's in love with the game and he wants, by the looks of it, he doesn't want to get in the ring anymore, but he still may play a part in this glorious sport.
Or a stand-up comedian or punditry. So funny. You'd love to see him in front of the camera. You really would, as, I don't know, a punditry for Sky or any of the mainstream, you know, sports channels. It'd be really funny, in my opinion.
Be fantastic. Right, in part two, we will be discussing, obviously, we'll be catching up with Danny Darko Egbeninke, and we'll also give you the results from this weekend, I should say, and we'll be discussing the fights to look forward to next weekend. So time for a break, time for a bit of music. We're going to play Internet Money, and this one's called Lemonade. It's fresh in the charts at the moment. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you soon.
Door, brand new bag. College girls give me in my raps. Rockstar life, so much money, I'll make you laugh. Hey, they hate, and you can't miss what you never had. Hey, hey, pop the juice, got me tripping. Got the coupe, walk the roof is missing. Ice, lemonade, my neck was tripping. Ice, lemonade, my neck was tripping.
Boys got some 60s in my bag. Sealed, ain't pillow talking on no rag. In my earlobe, got 2 carats, VVS. Got a penthouse near Rodeo, off of stress. All this money, when I grew up, I had nothing. Filled with backstabbers, my whole life is disgusting. Can't believe it, gotta thank God that I'm living comfortably. Get checks, I don't believe what she say, she done with me. Burn some bridges and I let the fire light the way. Kicking my feet up, left the PJs on a PJ. Yeah, I'm a big dog and I walk around with no leash. I got water on me, yeah, everything on Fiji.
Zero, suicide door, brand new bag. College girls giving in my raps. Rockstar life, so much money, I'll make you laugh. Hey, they hate and you can't miss what you never had. Hey, hey, off the juice, got me tripping. Got the coupe, walk the roof is missing. Ice, lemonade, my neck was tripping. Ice, lemonade, my neck was tripping.
I'm rockstar, pack up doors, tipping walls, hey. Raw, finish dogs, balls, hey. I was 15, I said, hey, with my dog, hey. Get it. Now I feel nauseous. Put up a stick and I hop on a plane, still in my wall, wait. This so risky, I gotta be gifted. He blessed me with fortune and fame. I remember from 50, I couldn't go back empty. I knew I was stuck to the games. Loyal and I never change. I'm never gonna go against the grain. I'm never gonna be the one turn on my brother when police just gotta detain. I won't ever love it more than my mother, and that's on my government name. I can't be no sucker, ain't hating on no one. I wish everybody get paid. Cause we counting up every day, getting hot to island in the grave.
Zero, suicide door, brand new bag. College girls giving in my raps.
Rockstar life, so much money, I'll make you laugh. Hey, they hate and you can't miss what you never had. Hey, hey, off the juice, got me tripping. Got the coupe, walk the roof is missing. Ice, lemonade, my neck was tripping. Ice, lemonade, my neck was tripping.
Welcome back to part two of the show. As I said, we're pleased to have on this week's show Southern Area Super Lightweight Champion, Danny Darko Egbeninke. Danny, how are you, my friend? And thank you for joining us this evening.
No problem. How are you doing?
Yeah, very, very well. Obviously, struggling through COVID, but we're all getting on with it. We're trying to stay fit and healthy, and I'm sure you are yourself, Dan.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, getting ready for the up-and-coming battle that's about to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. No, big news. But before we get on to that, Danny, I just wanted to to basically, you know, for our listeners, really, just give you an idea of who you are and what you're about. You're based, you're training out of Wickford with Kevin Lilly, just down the road from our studios here in Brentwood. I mean, how long have you guys been together and how's it all going?
I've been with Kevin for 3 years now, and it's perfect. I travel 100 miles every day, literally 100 miles every day to get to training. And obviously, I wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't worth it. There's a lot of boxing gyms, pro gyms that are quite local to me that I could have gone to, but I thought like when I went over there just to see how they train in their gym, which was originally in Fight Farm, actually, but when I first went down there and I just met him, we just clicked straight away. And ever since then, it's been good, you know. We've won a Southern Area belt, we've done a world record, and we're actually on the verge of getting another world record. But yeah, we'll let you know about that one when it gets closer to the time. But one stage at a time. But yeah, everything's been going well, man.
Yeah, Danny, hello, mate. It's Charlie Marks, colleague here at Phoenix 98 FM.
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm all good, my friend. You?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Top man. Now, I want to strip it right back to the beginning. You know, you've obviously picked boxing back up, but as a kid, you loved boxing, you fell in love with it. I believe you've done a bit of sparring with Leron Richards, and then you kind of faded away from the game. Can you tell our listeners what happened and then why you've come back into the game, and you've certainly accelerated in terms of your pro career to date?
Yeah, you know what, back then when I sparred with Leron, it was just, as a kid, it was just, you know, trying out, I guess, you know, like you just try a lot of different sports and that. So that was a boxing club called Stroder, which is at the bottom of the estate that I kind of grew up on, Cambridge Estate in Kingston. I went there, done a bit of boxing. That wasn't my only actually time at boxing. Around them times I was getting in little bits of trouble, so I wasn't, there was a point of time I wasn't actually allowed to be in my area, so I was living in Brixton with my granddad for a bit, yeah, and I was going to a gym close to him, which was Fitzroy Lodge. I was actually going there for a bit, literally a very, very short amount of time. I went there for a little bit when I was a bit older, but I was still, I think, you know, not able to apply myself properly, and I feel I was applying myself to the wrong type of energy and stuff, you know, which ended up making me lose certain amounts of time of my life. But you know, I think everything happens for a reason. And I don't, like, you know what, like, a lot of people are like, oh, do you regret it? Do you wish you started younger? But you know what it is, I actually don't. It's like the lessons, the things that I've been through, is that I feel like I had to go through it to understand, like, how precious certain things are in life, you know, or how important time is. And as you can see, like, I've only been pro for what, like, basically three, four years, and it's like I've accomplished quite a lot, and I feel like I've crept up the rankings quite high. It was only last year I was number 10 in Ring Magazine, and I've done all of that in a very short amount of time, and I think that's due to me turning over a bit late and gone through the things that I went through, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, now I've come out on the other side, and God willing, I'm doing good now, you know.
Yeah, and you said, like, you quickly, you've only had 6 fights. You've got a very good following already, Danny. I mean, myself and Charlie were at the Martin McDonagh fight, your call. I mean, and you had a great following that night. You know, you came into the ring confident with Kevin. You looked in great shape. You know, and you have come a long way in those 6 undefeated fights as a professional.
Yeah, definitely.
On to December 2nd, you said you've got, you know, a big fight up and coming. And just for our listeners, really, it's been announced versus Harlem Eubank. How's camp? We've seen you've been sparring this weekend with someone like Liam Walsh.
Yeah, do you know what? I know everyone's always like, oh, this is the best camp I've ever had, and yeah, I'm all, like, whatever. But do you know what, look, my last camp wasn't... I didn't have my strength and conditioning trainer, and I broke my hand at the beginning of the camp. Now, this was the fight for this was the fight for Billy. Okay, let me take it back to Martin Madonna. When I fought for Martin Madonna, yeah, I was still suffering bad. I had just come off. I was still suffering badly from Achilles tendonitis. No excuse. I still got the W. I don't think I performed that great, but it was just there was bits of the camp that I wasn't happy with, and you know what? Whatever happened. I got the win, but I got a lesson out of it. The second time, after that for the Southern Area title, was with Billy Allenton, and I broke my hand in our first bar. I broke my hand in my first bar. So that whole camp year, I didn't get to spar with no one. I was doing a bit of left-hand sparring with Inder for a few rounds, but I didn't get to spar with no one. I pulled my hamstring. I wasn't able to do my sprints. I'd done all my stuff, all my fitness on a spin bike. And it was just bits of it, just that the camera weren't perfect, you know what I mean? But you know what? It was a calculated risk, I thought, that fight. And we come through it. But you see this camp here? Like, this camp here has been... I don't even like saying, oh, I've had a perfect camp because my camp's not over yet. All right? So far, so good. Let's just call it that. So far, so good right now. Touch wood, I haven't had no injuries. I feel like COVID came and even though it was a bit stressful, it was a bit of a blessing because it gave me a lot of big, nice time to recover my hand. My hands were fully recovered and that. But yeah, this camp's been good. I've been through hell in this camp. Like, I've had some really good sparring and you know what, usually I'm not going to say I always have my way in sparring because that's far from true, but usually I'm always like, I do get my way quite a lot in sparring, but this camp's been different. We've picked out some real good spot people to spar with, and it's just, I've just learned this camp. You know, my weight's been down the whole of lockdown. I haven't had to spend no time worrying about no weight. I don't usually worry about weight or anything, but it's like I haven't had to think about that at all. You know, I've had my meal prep sponsors, I've got my nutritionist on board, and I've just been learning this camp. Literally, that's all I've done is learn. So I can't wait to, you know, get in there and see exactly how much I've learned, you know, if what I've learned it has been enough.
And I mean, you know, we touched upon, we were there at your call, you bullied McDonough around the ring. I mean, are you looking to do the same with Harlem Eubank? Because he looks like he likes to be on his toes as well. McDonough was on his toes. Are you going to sit on his chest? I mean, what are we going to see from
Do you know what?
Like,
I could say I want to sit on his chest. I could say I want to... I don't know, innit? I'll be honest with you. I don't know. All I do right now is I've covered every base that I need to cover to make sure when I go in there, I can adapt from plan A all the way down to plan Z. That's what my plan is, to be able to do. It's like, because every time I go into a fight, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. All right? It never happens. I always end up doing something different. So I've just worked on myself this camp. I haven't, obviously, I watched his fight against Martin Madonna. Cool. I haven't watched anything since that. I haven't watched anything since that at all. And it's been, I think it's been good, man. Just not having to worry about, you know, like, I've got to get this type of sparring and that type of sparring in. Yeah, we've got different people sparring, but they've all been like very different. How can I say it? Very different, like, styles. You know what I mean?
And Danny, I know you don't want to look too far beyond the Harlem Ben fight. I mean, you're both unbeaten fighters, and credit to you both for taking the fight so soon in both your careers. But looking further afield, if you get past Eubank, you've got, you know, you're number 18 now in the UK rankings. You've got, you know, you look further afield, you've got, I don't know if you look from the top 10 up, you've got people like Sam Maxwell, you know, Robbie Davis Jr., Lewis Ritson, Ahara Davis, you know, and then you've got the likes of Terry Flanagan, Josh Taylor still knocking around, you know, Josh Taylor, top of the tree. But beyond Eubank, if you can look further than that, you know, where do you see yourself being in the not-too-distant future?
All right, beyond Eubank, this fight for me and Eubank are fighting for the English Eliminator, all right? So, regardless, after this fight, I'll be fighting for the English Eliminator, for the English, yeah? Currently, Kay Prosper's got that fight, that belt. If he still has that belt after this fight, then I'll be fighting him. If someone else has got that belt after the fight, I'll be fighting whoever has that belt. But that's what we're going to do. Like, we're just going to go bit by bit, take fight by fight, you know. I know you said it, but I just never really focused on what's after, on that first, that thing next. I just always got that, I got this person in front of me first, and he's trying to take food off my plate, and I've got to attend to this, to that first, before I even think of anything. But this is an English eliminator, so my close goal is to get the English title, yeah? Once I got the English title, then I'm going to set my sights on something else. But right now, English title, Harlem Eubanks, K-Prosper, they're the names that's all going around right now. Things may change, you never know, but right now, that's my aim. And, you know, I said the same thing when I was going to get my Southern Area title. I told people I'm getting a Southern Area title, I got it. And I will say, you know, I know I've got, this is going to be a good fight. Harlem Eubanks is a very good, he's a very good boy. It's gonna be a good fight, but I'm coming for that belt, and that's it.
Yeah, fair play to you. I mean, you know, Sky Sports, your first, it's going to be your first time on there. I mean, obviously, you've got a good following of fans. You know, it's the last day of lockdown as well, isn't it? I mean, I guess you would love to have your fans there for that night.
You know what? Like, yeah, of course I would, but it is what it is, isn't it? Like, you know, I'm a fighter. Fans there, fans not there, whatever. Like, whatever, innit? Like, who cares? I don't care, innit? Too tough, innit? Like, I've got a fight, and that's all I know, innit? Whether it's quiet there, or it's loud there, it doesn't bother me, man. It don't bother me. The only good thing is, it's the last day of lockdown. When I finish fighting, we can all go out and eat. How about that? You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, superb, superb. And Danny, obviously, really looking forward to December 2nd, I'm sure you are. And in the camp, in the camp down in Wickford, you've got other, you know, good and up-and-coming domestic fighters. You know, we know Danny Dignam really well from the area. You know, it seems like Kevin Lilly's building something pretty special down there with you guys. It really does.
Yeah, he's building a solid stable. He's been building a solid stable, you know. Like, he's a very smart coach, isn't it, Kevin? He's a very smart coach. Yeah, like, he's building a solid stable. We've got a lot of good boys down there. We've got, we've got Indabassi. He had a little, obviously, he took his first loss on the weekend, but, you know, believe me, he's going to come back from that crazy, innit? Like, I've sparred with that guy, innit? And he is a beast, innit? We've got Danny Dignam down there. Obviously, you guys know about him. Like, Dan, I've learned so much from Danny. Like, since I started training with them guys, I've learned so much from him. And yeah, there's other few fellas down there from, you know, from, because obviously we train at Newlands, you know. So another one of the guys that, one of the other coaches at Newlands, Riley, he's got a couple of fighters, Hamza, Mikey Saki. So there's a few other kids, you know, there's a few boys down there that we've got. So it is good, it's getting there. And slowly but surely, you know, the camp's getting built. And yeah, man, it's exciting times.
It does sound good, Danny. Well, look, we're not going to keep you any longer because I'm sure you want to rest up and you know, enjoy your Sunday night. Celebrity, get me out of here, it's on at 9 o'clock, so we don't want to keep you any longer.
I'm a PlayStation guy.
All right, get back. Well, we'll let you get back to your PlayStation. But before you go, obviously, how you've turned your life around. You know, if there's young kids out there that are going down the wrong road, etc., you know, just send out a message to all those kids, you know, because you're a prime example. You can turn it all around. What's your message?
Look, do you know what? When I first went to jail, when I first went there, it was a bit hectic. When I was in there, one of my friends was outside, and he had turned over pro, all right? And everyone got the word from when we was all inside that, thingy turned over, and I said to myself, you know what, I need to go pro. And I remember I was telling everyone that I'm going to go pro. I just made that decision there and then. And quite a few people were laughing. And some of the people that I was actually speaking about it with are still in jail now. And it's like, now they've seen my picture and I'm fighting on Sky Sports, they're like, oh my days, like, I remember when you come out with that. So, like, it was just, you know what it is, if you've got that, you just need to make that decision. Just do it, innit? There is, procrastination is the worst thing, innit? Like, because so many, like, people, yeah, it's a dream killer. It's a dream killer, procrastination. And so many people are like, yeah, you know what? I am going to start training. I need to do this first. I want to get that done. It's just like, no, forget that. If you like want to do something and you've got a dream, or you want to start something up, you want to start your business, or you want to start, you want to be a professional athlete or whatever, do it and do it today, innit? Do it and do it today. Simple as. Like, cause tomorrow, yeah, is not promised. That's another thing that made me push on, you know? I got a lot of friends that when I was inside, they passed away and I wasn't, you know, I weren't there, innit? Because I was inside, so, and it's like, I never got to say bye or stuff like that. So always procrastinating and pushing things to tomorrow, get out of that type of mindset. That's what I had to do. And I don't know, since I've been out of that mindset, everything's been kind of, it's hard to get out of that, but since I've kind of got out of it, it's just everything's been kind of going well for me, I think. So, yeah.
Lovely stuff, Danny. Look, great story. Wish you the very best on December the 2nd. You know,
thank you very much.
Go and win that Eliminator. Go and get that belt.
Oh, don't worry about it. I will get that belt, mate.
And we do appreciate your time this Sunday evening. And, go and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Oh, thank you very much, man. Have a good night, guys. Yeah?
Take care, Danny. Thank you very much.
All right, take care yourself. Bye.
Ciao, mate.
Charlie. Charlie, you know, just what a cracking story. I hope, you know, him versus Harlem Eubank will be a fascinating contest. It really will on December 2nd.
Yeah, really, Mark, really, really, really looking forward to it. You know, Danny, you know, seeing him, you know, he looks like a mini Mike Tyson, solid as they come, and he just keeps coming forward. He wants to just fight all night long. And you can see that he wears his heart on his sleeve. The minute he steps through those ropes, he's going to give it his all. And Harlem, I'll tell you what, Harlem Eubank, Mark, he does like to be on the back foot and run around the ring. He needs to be on his A game. He needs to be super fit, because I think Danny will just come at him all night long. He'll just be on his chest all night long. But it's interesting to hear that, you know, he's planning for both scenarios, right? You know, training and sparring, you know, he sounds like he's up to his sparring. You know, he'll be in there with the right technical boxers to learn, you know, that if he needs to, you know, fight from range, he can. And if he needs to have a tear-up, then we know he can have a tear-up, because we've seen him live and he can really, really hit. So looking forward to this one. And you know, props to both guys, Mark, for taking it so early in their careers. It's fantastic.
I mean, Harlem Eubank, 10-0. You know, Danny Igbenke, 6-0. You know, really, really interesting fight, this one. And Kevin Lilly is doing a fantastic job with him. You know, so I hope he goes and wins that fight. I think he's capable of doing it. He's the older man, the more mature fighter. He's turned his life around. So, yeah, great story, and the very best of luck to him.
Yeah, and what a great bill that night, Mark. You know, the Golden Contracts final, December 2nd, Sky Sports. It's going to be a fantastic show. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Now, some results to mention from this weekend. Obviously, Friday night, Charlie kicked off BT Sport and Queensbury Promotion. Denzel Bentley defeated Mark Heffron in the rematch after four rounds to be crowned the new British middleweight champion. Now, Liam Williams had vacated the belt recently. I mean, explosive, really, really good punch in the second, you know, to really close the fight out. And Heffron's eye, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, it was the size of a golf ball. It was a fantastic right hand over the top. He didn't really recover from that, and Denzel Bentley got the stoppage in the fourth round with a nice combination again with that right hand. He was looking for that all night after that, and he got the stoppage. And Heffron just was retired on his stool effectively at the end of the fourth round.
Yeah, Mark. I mean, Bentley, straight, he's so quick out of the blocks. You know, the first bout, you could say Heffron was the quicker out of the blocks, and Bentley was on the back foot. But Bentley really turned it around this time. His game plan was spot on, straight out of the blocks, round one, on him. And you're right, he caught him, shut the eye straight away. And unfortunately, there was no real coming back for Heffron after that. You know, the eye just ballooned straight away, didn't it? So Bentley, very, very impressive. And yeah, what a story as well. You know, he's got a great backstory. You know, he's had it tough, you know, had it really tough. And, you know, he's trained down at the Peacock, isn't he? Fantastic story. And that middleweight division is going to be a tasty division as well. You know, we spoke there earlier with Danny Dignam. He's back out in action very soon. I'm sure he'll have his eye on that British title. Who knows? He might get his hands on it further down the road.
Yep, absolutely. I'd like to see Danny Dignam in there against Bentley, or even Charles Felix Cash. Felix Cash, Bentley, Felix Cash versus Dignam. Danny's out, I think, in December. If he comes through that, I'd love to see him in the mix for a British title shot.
Absolutely, Mark. Yeah, the middleweight division's tasty as it comes, isn't it? I mean, obviously, Liam Williams is at the top of the tree at the moment, and what a great fighter he is. But, you know, like you said, you know, there's so many names coming up. And Felix Cash is good on the eyes, good on, you know, to watch. And obviously, Danny as well. You know, it's fantastic. So, yeah, listeners, do keep your eyes on the middleweight division because it's really, really warming up nicely at domestic level.
Saturday night's action, Charlie. Matchroom now with their new residency at Wembley Arena, the SSE. We saw an upset, really, at super middleweight. The prospect, John Doherty, suffered his first professional defeat to the hands of Jack Cullen. Now, it was a bit gutsy, really, from Cullen to battle back, having been knocked down within the first 30 seconds. He got the decision. He got the win. And a successful night. I mean, where does Cullen go now?
Well, I think Cullen's going on there. I'm not sure if that was an eliminator for the British, or he's now the winner goes on into an eliminator for the British title. But, you know, Cullen, Mark, he's done all right over the summer, hasn't he? Under Matchroom, you know, he was last out of fight. Against Jack Chelly, who incidentally won the ultimate boxer, didn't he, in the midweek as well. And he looked pretty sharp at that. So, but yeah, he's had a good summer, Cullen. And I think, I'm not sure if they've rushed Doherty too soon, Mark. But that was his toughest contest to date, and it showed. Cullen was crafty, you know, a little bit ugly at times, but he got the job done. You know, he's awkward, he's gangly, but I think he did deserve the win. So back to the drawing board for Doherty, you know, and Cullen hopefully goes on. Well, I think he does go on now for that British title eliminator. So good luck to him. You know, he's had a couple of unsavoury decisions. And, you know, a bit of luck has come his way. So, yeah, long may that continue for him.
And also, obviously, Saturday night, Katie Taylor back in action. I mean, successfully defended her titles. Undisputed world champion, Katie Taylor. She dominated her slightly overmatched mandatory, you could say, Charlie, the challenger, Miriam Gutierrez, for 10 rounds. I mean, it was a solid win. I mean, I thought Taylor was going to get Gutierrez out there a lot earlier. It looked like she could have got her out there in the first round, and she went for it, you know, but slick movement, you know, precision punching from Katie Taylor, you know, a real role model now for the women's game and for boxing in general. I mean, you know, good Olympian, her father was a boxing trainer, her brothers are all boxers. I mean, you can see why she's so classy.
Yeah, Mark, fantastic. She really, you know, she bossed it, didn't she? But, you know, Gutierrez, she was very, very tough, you know, tough as they come. And you could see that, you know, she did rock her in the early rounds and she looked a little bit dazed, but she regrouped and she's 37. So she's crafty in terms of she's been around the game and she knew how to survive. And that's all it was, you know, she was in there to survive. She got, you know, she made it through the fight. She holds her head up high, but, you know, Katie Taylor is a class act, Mark. But I tell you who did really impress me, Terry Harper, Mark. Terry Harper really impressed me. Very, very stylish performance, you know, very clever performance. And, you know, she boxed very, very well for me.
She did. And obviously you had Rachel Ball as well. I mean, wasn't an easy fight for her. She got the, you know, she got through it. She got the win. You know, Charlie, great to see women's boxing up there on a night really like that. You had three of the country's finest boxers up there in the women's game at the moment, you could argue. Or, you know, not the three top, but three of maybe the top 10 female boxers up there.
Yeah, for sure, Mark. The only one I would probably say is not probably top 10 or world levels at the moment is Rachel Ball, because, you know, she was very fortunate to be in that position. You know, I would argue that she's not kind of world class, but it's a very, you know, some of the divisions, they're not fully stacked, are they? So she deserves her place currently where she is. But I think, you know, there will be a rematch with Courtney. Cameron, is it Courtney? Is it Shannon Courtney she beat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think further down the road, Matchroom have been very clever with this. Rachel Ball, you know, now she's got a belt of some substance. I think it's like the Intercontinental or something like that, but it's a belt. And I think you'll now see Shannon Courtney will file for a rematch, and that she'll give it to her. So, do you know what I mean? There's twists and turns in that division.
You could well be right. Now, obviously, boxing from Vegas last night, we had Kell Brook in action. But before that, a remarkable 25-minute video replay decision in Joshua Franco versus Andrew Maloney's fight. And that was obviously before the Terrence Crawford versus Kell Brook fight. The fight was stopped after two rounds due to Franco's eye swelling, eventually ruled a no decision, which was caused by a headbutt, despite footage seemingly to show jabs were thrown during the damage. Charlie, did you get to see this? I haven't, but I mean, the likes of Dame Helen Mirren's been commenting on it on social media. I mean, I didn't realise she was such a boxing fan. She's been commenting on it, saying it was the wrong decision.
Mark, it was an absolute outrage. I mean, an outrage. Firstly, they said it was in the first round of head clash. Then after the fight, they said it was the second round. You look back on the replay, Maloney clearly catches him with a jab. The eye pops straight away. The eye closes straight away. And he must have carried on jabbing. And Maloney said afterwards, you know, he was crying, Mark, the poor kid. 5 months away from his family, you know.
New Zealand.
They all sound the same, but anyway, yeah, he's Australian. But I mean, he was devastated, Mark, and he was, you know, he was more or less standing up like chest to chest with the backroom team for Franco. You know, he's calling them out. You know, you're a disgrace. Rah rah rah. It was the second rematch. It was a rematch. He deserved to take the title. There's no two ways about it. He fully deserved. Bob Arum said he's disgraced by it. He wants out of Vegas because they've got an instant in Vegas under the Nevada rules, Mark. It's a bit like VAR. They can literally go to the instant replay and look at it. So if there was ever any doubt, if you're saying it was round one head clash, round two head clash, we'll look back at the tape. They chose not to. They chose not to. Disgusting
refereeing. Not even refereeing, but you know, when you got it on the screens like that, it just
leaves a bad taste. Someone out there's just taking a, you know, I don't know,
disgusting,
taking a bung or whatever. It's disgusting.
Main event, obviously, from Vegas, Terrence Crawford. All too much for Kell Brook as he overwhelmed him for a fourth round stoppage. Competitive first three rounds, and then Crawford proved why he's one of the best fighters on the planet, Charlie. He's still the WBO welterweight world champion. The right hand that stunned Kell Brook looked like he couldn't recover from it, but I must say, it looks a bit of a soft stoppage to me. Don't get me wrong, that right hand that caught him and stunned him was a fantastic punch with that leading jab, southpaw stance, and Brook didn't see it, but the stoppage after that, after the standing count, was a little bit premature for me.
I think if you watch it back, you'll realise that he was definitely, he caught him, he dazed him, Kell Brook, and he hurt him, Mark. And I think the ref done the right thing. You know, obviously with Kell Brook eye problems in the past. For two rounds, I thought Brook fought really well. Crawford came out, you know, he predominantly, he's normally southpaw, but he came out orthodox. And I think that threw Brook a little bit because Brook would throw his jab, but he didn't want to throw his right hand. And then when he switched it back to southpaw, Brook was confused. And Brook said himself afterwards, you know, he'd been in with people like Errol Spence, and he said normally he can see a punch coming. He went, it just shows you how quick Crawford is, because he did not see that punch coming, Mark. And he was kind of angry with himself that he did get caught because he didn't see it. And he's seen every punch throughout his whole career, he said, against all the top guys, but he just could not see that punch. And I think once it landed, you could see that it did daze him, it hurt him. I don't think the ref stopped it prematurely at all. I think he'd done the right thing, I really do.
Now, this is either the end of the road for Kell Brook, or he fights Amir Khan. That's a fight I don't really want to see. It's a pension pot fight for the pair of them. Crawford, where does he go? Maybe Pacquiao. 37 fights now, undefeated. Terence Crawford, probably amongst the best pound-for-pound boxers for sure at the moment. I think Pacquiao next, and then that unification fight against Errol Spence Jr. Because he's got to, I think he beats Pac-Man and he takes his belt, and then it's a unification belt. You know, and fans will want to look forward to that. But listen, before all that, we're going to have a bit of a break now. I want to play a song. This is actually an interesting song. It's James Arthur and Sigala in the chart at the moment. It's a real, real banger. It's called Lasting Lover. We're going to preview next week's fight in part three. So enjoy this one. We'll catch you soon.
I don't know why I can't quite get you out my sight. You're always just behind these thoughts across my mind.
keep crawling back to where we last left our love on hold. I'm always out for more. So what you waiting for?
Welcome back to the final part of the show, Charlie.
Quotes of the week. Everyone makes mistakes in life, but that doesn't mean they have to pay for them the rest of their lives. Sometimes good people make bad choices. It doesn't mean they're bad. It means they're human.
Beautiful stuff. Now, next week, Charlie, we did touch on a big show coming right here from the UK. It now will be headlined by Conor Benn versus Formella, Sebastian Formella, on Saturday, the 21st of November at Wembley SSE Arena right here in London. Now, the fight is scheduled for 10 rounds in the welterweight division. The fighters that will also appear on the undercard are Alan Babich versus Tom Little. Announced also Fabio Wardley versus Richard Larty, Charlie, to look forward to. Also, previous guest of the show, you know, Fabio, local lad here in Ipswich. Big test for him.
Yeah, Mark, really looking forward to that, actually. I mean, Larty's been in with people like John Gorman, people like Daniel Dubois. So, yes, you could argue, you know, he's a bit soft in terms of whenever he comes over, he doesn't really perform well and, you know, questionable whether or not he's in shape or not. But a real, you know, his resume looks strong. So it will be, you know, Fabio Wardley comes through it, which I think he should do, probably in about 4 or 5 rounds for me. Then, you know, that cements him as, you know, a prospect in terms of the heavyweight division. And, you know, someone like Babich as well, Mark, versus Tom Little. I mean, Tom Little's not been that... that great, has he, really? He's been a bit out of shape, but he looks in real, real good shape for this. So, you know, Babic is a bit of a brawler, isn't he? So I'll be looking forward to that. And obviously the top of the bill, Mark, another intriguing one for me. Conor Benn, no real amateur experience as such. Formella, very, very strong opponent. Been in there with some good names. Been up there. Was it Sean Porter, you thought?
Just one defeat to Sean Porter, yeah, in 23 contests. Benn, 16 wins, 11 by knockout. He's 24. No losses. Now, Conor Benn is ranked number 15 with a WBA. Sebastian Formella is the the 9 years Benn's senior at the age of 33. With just that one defeat, coming off that defeat to Sean Porter. So, big test for Conor Benn. You know, Benn does get in there, tries to rough people up, gets on people's chests, and loves a brawl. He's going to have to box smart against Formella. Who is a boxer? Let's face it, Formella's a boxer, not a puncher.
No, he's definitely a boxer. And, you know, Benn, again, I don't know if the crowds will play into Formella's hands or not, Mark, because Conor Benn, you know, he does have a kind of a good following, obviously from his dad as well, you know, and the British public get behind him. How's that going to be, you know, with no crowd? How's he going to get himself up for it? It is his biggest test to date, this one. And we've seen some banana skins already, Mark, you know, during lockdown in terms of results. I'm just the jury's out for me. I'm sitting on the fence. I really don't know which way this one's going to go. I really don't.
I'd like to think that Conor Benn, after Kell Brook obviously losing last night in Vegas, that Conor Benn could fly the flag for the UK in the welterweight division. Obviously, he's got Nigel Benn as his father. He was an icon for British boxing. Josh Kelly is another one in that division. You know, these two guys are the two young guys coming through. And I'd love to see Conor Benn. He'll fill a stadium, Charlie, here in the UK. And if he got one of those big US fighters over here, you know, I'm not saying that he's going to be fighting
Flair the Blair.
Yeah.
Blair the Flair, even.
Yeah, Flair. Yeah, someone like that. I'm not saying he's going to be fighting, you know, the likes of Spence Jr. or Crawford or Poulter, or not anytime soon, let's face it.
No, absolutely not
anytime soon. But he will fill stadiums here in the UK and possibly the US. He's that exciting.
Well, that's a big call, Mark. That's a big call. But this is, again, this is his moment, right? This is his moment now to, yeah, you know, you've done all the talking. Let's see if you can back it. And if he can back it and he gets through it, and if he does it impressive, then you're probably right, Mark. Then he could probably sell out arenas and then switch over to the US. But there's a long way to go for me before he gets there.
Another show to look forward to next weekend, Charlie.
Yeah, there's some great shows next weekend, Mark. Not next weekend, the weekend after. November 27th, you've got Daniel Jacobs. You've got Demetrius Andrade. And then, obviously, November 28th, we've got Joe Joyce versus Daniel Dubois.
Oh, I cannot wait for that. Pay-per-view, pay the money, people. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jr. Jones. Forgot to say, Chris Eubank Jr., Charlie, signed with Roy Jones Jr. as his trainer this week. You know, he wants to have a big fight. Chris Eubank announced soon, he says. Charlo, do you think Charlo versus Eubank could be announced?
He wants
a big fight in December, he said.
It has to be, but I don't think Charlo's going to fight him this year, Mark. I think that's a stadium fight, that, with spectators.
Could be right. Right, people, don't forget, catch us on all the socials. We'll obviously be back next Sunday, 8 p.m, Phoenix 98 FM. Hopefully, we'll bring you another big guest.
Get us on Twitter, on the ropes, FM. One, get us on Instagram at On The Ropes FM. Get us on Facebook group On The Ropes. As always, thank you for listening. Have a knockout week. And remember,
you're always in with a puncher's chance. Listen to this and take it easy on your Sunday night here at Phoenix 98 FM. We're going to leave you with the Commodores. Easy. Have a great week.
No, it sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see, I begged, stole, and I borrowed. Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. Like Sunday morning.
Phoenix FM.
I paid my dues to make it.